Well, every so often one gets astounded by the kind of off-air quotes that our midweek drivettes can actually come out with, and Shaney McKenzie with, "Ooh, gin, sometimes I feel as though I'm in a relationship with gin." That's got to be well up there, really.
Oh, yes, definitely, Alex. Thank you for embarrassing me today, by the way.
That's quite all right. It's almost like the parting line of some of our people from Boston who actually passed the New Lincoln Theatre Hall with saying, "We never go to the theatre, we're from Boston." Don't make of it what you will. No names. But let's move on. Gin is where we are. We're talking about 55 Above, Artisan British Spirits, and we're about to speak to
David Stump.
David, is this your particular company? Are you here just because you wanted to actually engage with gin at the Lincolnshire Show? What's your raison d'etre?
Okay, no, I run 55 Above. We are predominantly a vodka house, actually, but we do make a couple of gins. We have an orange and a rhubarb gin. So, yeah, anything and everything to do with spirits.
Churchill famously said that it was gin that actually won the empire for Britain for a variety of reasons, and it has become officially Britain's top tipple of choice.
Absolutely. Gin has been, it's incredibly popular. The last 5 years, it's gone from something that's been on the fringes to something that's absolutely mainline. If you don't have a gin offering, you really are, you're letting yourself down for sure.
Shaley.
I've just seen you've got coconut vodka.
Yeah.
How does that work? What would you have that by itself on the rocks, or would you have that with a mixer?
Okay, the coconut vodka is probably one of my favourite ones. It is really genuinely lovely over ice. However, you want a tall drink, blend yourself up a whole load of strawberries, get yourself some crushed ice, bang a couple of shots of the coconut vodka in there, and you are good to go. It's like it's a holiday in a glass. It's gorgeous.
Very, very nice. And the chilli chocolate one looks amazing. Which one out of the vodka and the gins is your favourite overall?
Okay, so you've already hit on it. Genuinely, the coconut vodka is probably my favourite. And I don't need to mix it with the strawberries or anything else. I just take it straight over ice. She's lovely. She really is.
Christian.
I was just having a look at your rhubarb gin, because I love rhubarb, and gin I enjoy. But how do you go about making these like drinks with the flavours? What's the process?
Okay, right. Well, we're a vodka house, so we're a potato vodka house, traditional vodka. What we do is produce our potato vodka from potato mash, gets up to like 96-97% proof, and then we bring it down. Once we've done that, we can then redistill to produce our gins. In the case of the orange gin and the rhubarb gin, it's a process of macination. So we produce the gin, and at the very last minute, if you imagine, for want of a better way of describing it, a tea bag full of mashed up rhubarb or a tea bag full of the orange rind, to actually infuse the flavour in at the very last minute.
Spoken like a true expert. I can see Russians over in Moscow effectively saying, "Ah, da harasho, ochin harasho." Why 55 Above as a name?
The owner of the company's Scottish and wanted something 55 degrees and above north, so 55 Above.
See what you did there.
Interesting, that's really cool.
And it's clearly too early in the day to actually use taste samples, or would you say it's never too early? It's always 5 o'clock somewhere from that point of view.
The 5 o'clock somewhere is always a good example. What I like to say is if you were sitting on holiday next to the pool and the bar guy hadn't come over and asked you for what drink you wanted, you'd be looking for your tour rep making a complaint. It's never too early to have a try. Just a little tip.
I don't know, Shaley, are you going to go along with that, or are we going to have an inebriated Southside midweek drivette on our hands?
I mean, if the gentleman is willing to offer me a sample, I ain't going to turn it down.
You're more than welcome.
Okay, this could be the critical one. We'll do the sample tasting. Meanwhile, people who wish to actually get in touch with you can't get to the Lincolnshire Show, so they're listening to this online. Web addresses, contact details, and so on.
Easiest way to find us, Google 55 Above or 55above.co.uk. It's nice and easy.
The team is almost complete. We're still waiting for Chloe Rose to actually join us. But as far as day one is concerned, which, dear listener, you'll probably be listening to on day two on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, we have Sue Royce. How are you, Sue?
I'm very well. It's always the highlight of my year as a yellow belly.
Sue, you've already been doing various things from the showgrounds so far. We're going to follow you with the sheep. But what are your thoughts on this 134th Lincolnshire Show?
Well, it's always really exciting when you get onto the showground for the first time and get your map out and start looking to see who's here from who's here last year, the new things that they're on this year, particularly the events that they have in the main ring. I mean, over the course of years, they've started to get smaller rings where there's stuff going on, fly fishing demonstrations, there's an awful lot of stuff going on in the countryside ring. We're just about to go off to the sheep and the pigs and around that way. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to see what they've got this year.
People are waiting for Chloe Rose. She's coming along later on day one. I think she's going to be arriving with her family at 12 noon. Then she's actually performing on stage at around about 10 past one. That's for the Lynx FM sort of people. And if you listen to this on a Thursday morning, well, just come along to the Lincolnshire Show. It's an absolutely fabulous experience, isn't it, Shaylee McKenzie?
It's incredible. I'm just looking at all the dogs and, like, fangirling all over them.
And Shaylee was not using a euphemism there. She was referring to canines and not other kind of life forms who are around on that particular point of view. It's just a line there. Christian, your first show. You've had a few hours to assimilate some of the stuff we've looked through, from giant deck chairs through to Amelia Chambers through to, of course, the three dummies. No, we're not referring to the Siren Radio Management team. Sorry, Andrew. But we are talking about the joys of the St John's Ambulance people. What are your thoughts on the Lincolnshire show?
So far, I'm enjoying it. I'm just looking forward to when all the events start taking place, like the sheep and whatever else is going
on. So many events, and arriving almost via parachute, but not quite, but via shuttle bus. Tessa Snart from Peterborough. How has the journey been, Tessa?
It's been absolutely fine, actually. No hold-ups. I got here really quickly, so it's been good.
So share with us your journeys before we actually find out how Sue's actually made the voyage to Lincolnshire Show.
My journey? Yep. Well, I got the train and then the shuttle bus here, and it was really easy. So for anybody, so
good news from that, Sue. For people who are worried about how do I get to the show because I don't drive or I don't want to drive and so on.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have in previous years done the showground in my car, and if you leave it later on, it can be a little bit interesting sometimes. But this year I came on the train from Gainsborough and I got the shuttle bus at 8:30, and it was a practical joy. It was easy peasy and drops you right off at the gate, so I will definitely be doing that in future.
Sounds good. Okay, so we're in your hands. Take us to this sheep zone. And then, do you have sheep yourself?
I do, actually. Yes, I have one little Texel. But I come from a sheep farming family, and my father and my grandfather used to show here for many, many, many years. So it's a part of me that sort of ekes from my childhood, and I can't wait to get in there and see what there is.
Have we had the official greeting with yourself and Alan Stennett as yet?
Oh, yes. Yes, Alan is a stalwart of the Lincolnshire Showground. I've always looked forward to seeing him. In fact, he used to interview me when he was at the BBC, when I was just about old enough to look over the...
Knee-high to a poodle, as we've said.
That's right, yes. So now it's nice to be able to see him again, and he now casts a very keen and expert eye over all things on the showground.
Okay, well, again, the general sense that we get here is a tremendous buzz. Footfall seems to be very much on the up from that perspective. Just setting the scene for listeners who might be listening online and so on and don't quite appreciate the extensive work that goes into the Lincolnshire Show. This pretty much starts kind of 2-3 weeks back in time, although planning for the 2019 Lincolnshire Show will already be starting, I would have thought.
Oh, yes. One show finishes, and the very following day, it all starts to be organised again. Of course, there's all the marquees, all the trade stands. Everything has to be squeaky.
And from your views or perspective as a press correspondent from this point of view, where do you think that the Lincolnshire Show team are actually getting it right?
I think they've, unlike other shows perhaps in the past, they've got it right because they have kept hold of their traditional roots. It is still very much a farming show. There are still lots of the farm machinery, a lot of the industry experts and people who work in the field are here, and they come here and they have to be seen to be here. Yes, there are the obvious extra bits like the retail, and they've done a really fantastic job of bringing in the schools, which is effectively the next generation of Lincolnshire, of getting them involved. They do a lot with the animal husbandry, they do a lot with the environmental side of it, and have a lot of awards that people can get involved with. It's just about bringing that next generation up, and that's where I think they've got it right.
Well, Sue is currently explaining to Christian the wonderful wherewithals by which the judging is taking place for one of the sheep contests. I'm with Tessa. We've been watching Shaylee actually fall in love with the dachshund.
There is some beautiful canines around here today, but this one was really, really sweet, really, really tiny, gorgeous.
And this is your third Lincolnshire Show, if I believe.
It is my third. I'm really excited to be back again as well, yeah.
So what are your thoughts, Tessa, as you went through the threshold today at this 134th Lincolnshire Show, or most importantly, your third Lincolnshire Show?
Once again, amazing. There's so much going on. I mean, already, we're only, 11 o'clock, and there's thousands of people here gathered round. We're by the sheep. It's windy, it's cloudy, but nobody's bothered about the weather. As Brits, you know, we plough through.
And actually, you say that, but as we were speaking to Alan Stannard about this morning, and from the point of view of the animals, this is actually the kind of weather you want, because it's not too hot,
yes,
it's not too cold, it's a pleasant breeze, it's not raining, and when it gets really sparkly hot, they don't like it.
No, that's very true. I mean, the weather is perfect for the animals, and we do have to think of them, I think, because they are out here quite a long time. And I think also it's good for the public as well, because it's not cold, is it, by any means? So walking around, that breeze is actually really, really nice.
A few months ago, Countryside Lynx was at this very showground. Shaylee was making her debut at Countryside Lynx there, and Shaylee, I think it's fair to say that we were very impressed with Ginger's tale of how he actually coped with Nobby the sheep when he escaped in London through Waitrose.
Definitely, it's a very interesting story. So,
and Tessa, of course, took that line from Ginger's Stage 4, that obviously if you're a commuter in London, you don't try and help the wonderful people of the sheep show and try and rescue the sheep. You know, you reach for your mobile phone and you put it on social media.
Oh, definitely. You know, that's going to get you some views. So,
the critical question is, Stuart, are you going to have any release the sheep moments today? Is Nobby going to be sort of a way to seek freedom?
Well, hopefully we won't try and hit that fame of getting them on kind of Sky TV and all the other avenues. No, I'm going to try and keep it a little bit low profile and just do the normal fun show we got on stage.
Well, as I said to Ginger, surely, I mean, you know, Nobby's now got an agent. He's got several sort of personal contracts. I hear he's actually putting out riders, that he actually has specific sort of requests for each show. That's beginning ridiculous, really.
Yeah, I hear it went worldwide, actually, from as far as Australia and so on. So Nobby running through Sainsbury's, heading towards the wine rack, was a little bit nervous for the people there, but it was all tongue-in-cheek now.
I think it was Waitrose as well.
Sorry.
Other supermarkets are available, but I just want to make sure that I can tell William Sitwell saying
it was class, has he?
Always. Stuart, it's a pleasure as always to connect with your good self. I feel, and I've said this about several exhibitors already, that the Lincolnshire Showground needs each year people like yourself to really make the whole thing come alive and energise it and so on. How's the sheep show been for yourself so far in 2018?
Oh, fantastic. One of our busiest years, actually. And we keep having some wonderful shows keep bringing us back, and then the audiences, like 80-90% of them, have seen us before year after year. So that is a massive compliment when they would come back and watch us over and over. So yeah, we're really pleased, and lots more shows this year, and yeah, very busy.
Shaylee, you've seen the mini version with respect to Ginger, as I shall now refer to him forevermore, Ginger the Hobbit. Sorry, I'm still quoting yourself, Stuart.
So it's my fault.
Yeah, thoughts for you from yourself about the, because you haven't seen the bigger version, have you?
I saw this one.
Oh, you did, yes.
Yeah, it was really interesting. You actually sheared one of the sheep.
That's right, yeah.
And they nearly scrambled off the stage, which was funny.
Can't have been me. Must have been Ginger. Must have been Ginger.
Definitely. It was really cool. Really interesting.
We, of course, have in Stuart a double whammy of joy, because it's not just sheep. It's also, he is the Dog and Duck Man, Tessa.
He is, yes. I got to see them last year. They're amazing too. So.
Thank you. Yeah, we're on again here at 2 o'clock today and tomorrow. So we're very excited about that in the Countryside Arena. And we've got a brand new dog, only just got a few weeks ago. And we're going to be showing them the different stages of it.
And in terms of the team, the sheep, etc., because, yes, I have to admit publicly that there are possibly more than one Nobby out there in various lands, etc. How have they been shaping up this season?
Yes, we actually got a new Lincolnshire show for the Lincolnshire sheep for the Lincolnshire show. So there we go. We got Nobby has been with me still for 5 years, so it's the original Nobby I've got. But I have got a couple of new, same breeds, but new sheep. So it's going to be, see how they go today. It'll be quite interesting about the dance routine for sure.
Tessa.
Yeah, I mean, Shaylee and I have just been looking at all your events. I mean, these really are famous sheep, aren't they? They're like sheep on tour. It's fantastic.
Forget Take That. Forget One Direction. Forget The Wanted.
Just see the sheep.
I don't think you could do any more shows in 4 months, really, anyone. We are covering just under 100 different shows and locations. So, yeah, no, a very famous sheep. The Hollywood stars of the sheep world, I call them.
I mean, do they have Instagram, you know, socials and all that?
Well, you think they should, really. We should do it more individuals. I'm sure they'll have a massive following. We haven't gone individually fame yet, but we're just trying to keep it as a group band at the moment.
And have Little Mix been in touch, and obviously some backing sheep dancers? Because I see that as a nice non-sexist way of actually stepping away from, let's not have male backing dancers, let's not have female backing dancers, let's have sheep backing dancers.
Well, you say that many moons ago. I don't know if we didn't really carry it on, but we were in London asked to do a Sony release for Razorlight, and we wanted the sheep as the backup, a dancing sheep at behind. We tried it. It didn't really go to light. They didn't really like the spotlight that much. But we have had a go at it, and I think we'll just stick to what we know.
That is such a razor light moment. I mean, that's like America writ large, really. Dancing sheep, fantastic. Shaylee, any thoughts?
What's your favourite part of the Lincolnshire show apart from the sheep show?
Well, I've had a good, because I do show after show. I cover so many shows. It's kind of like, you just stick with your own kind of area. But I've just been walking around Lincolnshire show, and I've just been half an hour stuck with the guys who are in competition with shoeing horses. It's been amazing. I never really thought shoeing horses would be that exciting, and I couldn't leave. I was just, the competition between them, the horses themselves. I mean, there's always something here for anyone. I mean, I was at the food hall before, and I just couldn't resist some of the food. There is absolutely something here for everyone, and it's just, and you learn so much. Who would have known I'd have sat, couldn't pull myself away from people shoeing horses for half an hour.
I mean, obviously, we've got a lot of wind today. I mean, does that affect the sheep, or do they not mind? Is it just like their fan, you know, when they're dancing?
Not the sheep. The ducks will affect my duck and dog show. Any birds, when they're in a wind, gets a lot more livelier, and they seem to want to take to the air, which my Indian money ducks naturally can't. But they, no, the sheep are fine. They've got their own covered little stage, so they're quite comfortable in the wind. The ducks, though, will be the trial.
Seen the duck and dog show? Is it any good?
No, it's horrific. Don't do it. Of course it's a mate. I mean, we were in Country File last year twice. We're in BBC Radio 4, because mine's not just about, I know the title doesn't really put much into it, it's called a dog and duck show, but my passion is about getting people to understand dog behavior. 76% of dog attacks have gone up in the UK. 2,000 children under 5 years old last year were put in hospital. So I've got a really passionate side about us understanding dogs instead of trying to make them understand us, and we learn their language instead of us making them learn our language, and all that must kind of come together. I really were trying to push for dog licenses to come back, do half a day courses for dog licenses instead of punishing people when dogs do something wrong. Actually educate people, stop puppy farming, bring back licenses, control the dog situation. 76% of dog attacks going up in the last few years in the UK. There is a problem and we need to deal with it, and that's the serious side of my show. But I put a lot of humour with it because I think it's very important for people to enjoy as well. I get the kids out, we do a Tunnel of Doom, a swimming pool event. So we try and put a bit of everything into the dog and duck show. But there is a lot of passion. I spent 30 years trying to train dogs. Now I train people to understand dogs.
Now that sounds really interesting. And you are correct. It is how we understand our canine creatures.
Exactly. Us being the most intelligent creatures on the planet, we've got to start to understand them.
Have you seen some?
Well, I know there's a lot of debate on that at the moment, but
maybe Darwin was wrong.
Yeah, who knows? At the moment, we're at the top of the food chain, put it that way. And if we're trying to make an animal to understand us instead of us understanding them, I think we've got a little bit of further steps to go. And that's what I'm very passionate about doing in my show.
Where can people find more info about the Dog and Duck Show?
Wonderful. Well, I've written a book about it called The Way of the Dog. I actually write children's books with my wife now, called Duke and Dolly, and the next one just came out a few weeks ago, The First Steps. And that's also on the aim of teaching kids a lot of fun with it, a lot of different characters, believing in themselves, but also understanding a little bit about domestic animals. So we're going to be at the Countryside Arena at 2 o'clock every day at the Lincolnshire Show. My website's very easy to find. If you just put Dog and Duck Show in Google or any other one, they'll bring you to my homepage, and it's all the information about that on the website.
Sheep show goes from strength to strength. Is it Richard who looks after the Great Yorkshire Show? Because we normally see Richard up there. Are you taking over the Great Yorkshire Show as well?
No, I'm there this year. I've been there for the last 2 years. Richard's Richard's doing. He's enjoying life a little bit more, maybe.
That's okay. That's fine. Well, in which case, we'll see you at the Great Yorkshire Show. We'll still see you probably day two of the Lincolnshire Show. I'll give a shameless plug to the Sheep Show, supported by Mole Valley Farmers. See what I did there? Sponsorship scenario.
Yeah, a little bit. We're coming to the end of that one actually. So.
Okay, then fair enough. That's an extra bonus one there.
Yeah. They got a free. Yeah, it's all good. That's all good.
Exactly. Stuart, we'll see you again very soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Now, Tessa and Shaylee are in a canine heaven now because they're just looking at wonderful canines, and we're back to speak to the wonderful...
My name's Adam Essam. I'm the huntsman of the Southwold Foxhounds.
Adam, talk us through what the we're seeing. Cause they look a bit... I mean, I initially thought, oh, beagles. Are they beagles? They're not beagles, surely.
These are foxhounds.
Foxhound, you see, this is it. Okay, Tessa, questions.
Okay, well, I was just looking on the sign out here, and it does say it says the Southwold Hunt. So what's that all about?
Yeah, the Southwold Hunt was situated, the kennels, in between Belchford and Horncastle, if you know what I mean, on the crossroads there. They've been there since 1822 when they were formed. We keep 30 couple of mixed male and female modern English foxhounds. We go out twice a week on a Tuesday and a Saturday trail hunting. to mimic the traditional sport in the countryside from Louth down to Boston.
Now, I know in the Easter period with Countryside Links, Shaley was, I think, concerned that some of the hounds there were sort of desperately trying to escape. These guys seem to they seem happy.
Yeah, these dogs are much more chill. I mean, they kind of are hovering for treats. But I think in the Countryside Links ones, the basset, were they bassets or something?
They were basset hounds.
They were actually sort of crying and jumping over the fence to get away from the people. So these are much more chill dogs. They just want treats.
Exactly. So how do they compare? Have you worked with both, or would you say no? These are the best, the better kind of breed.
Next door to us here is the East Links Basset Hounds, which we kennel. They stay at livery with the Southwold Foxhounds at Belchford, and they are very different. But they're all canines, and they can all get on together nicely. We all have the same.
Just like Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, then, basically.
Yeah, if you like, yeah.
Just a thought. Tessa?
I mean, they are very excitable. How old are the dogs?
The youngest one in there is second season hound. So she's 3-year-old. And that's the mother. And those are three of her offspring, which are all now 2-year-old. And the oldest one in there is 6-year-old. We have hounds in the kennels from a year up until about 11 years.
I've got to say, I haven't particularly seen this breed before, and their markings and colourings are beautiful as well, and they do look like a mixed breed, but they're fantastic. You must get a lot of people, you know, crowding around.
Yeah, the attention they've had so far today has been, you know, really positive, really, for us.
Obviously, they're gorgeous. Yeah, they're really gorgeous dogs. Yeah.
Credit to you, sir. And are they performing in the ring later?
Yeah, we're on in the Countryside Ring at 11:30 and 2:30. And I think there's some other foxhounds parading in the main ring sometime throughout the day.
Sure, we'll see at least one of those for the moment. Many thanks indeed.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And so we continue with our general line of audio promenade material, and we find ourselves looking at a whole new form of aerial transport, which leads me to actually state, if the good Lord had wished us to fly, he would have given us wings. 100 years ago, people were still actually adhering to that line of things. Fortunately, we're now at a stand which demonstrates First World War classical material, and we're back to speak to...
My name's Ken.
Ken, would you like to explain to us and our listener what exactly we're looking at here and why you're dressed in such a resplendent outfit literally 100 years after the RAF was put into formation?
Well, I'm dressed as a flight sergeant of the Royal Flying Corps because it wasn't only officers that flew aeroplanes, non-commissioned officers did as well. The aeroplane that you're looking at is an Airco DH-2, which was designed by Geoffrey de Havilland, who moved on to other things like the Mosquito and the Comet. But this was the first true British fighter aeroplane and the first wholly fighter squadron was number 24, which was comprised these aircraft. It's a pusher because at that point the British couldn't fire machine guns through the propeller. So the propeller's at the back, which means you have an unrestricted rate of fire forwards. It was a very manoeuvrable aeroplane, not the fastest aeroplane at the time, but was designed to take on what was known as the Fokker Scourge, the Fokker monoplane of 1915/16, which had the first forward-firing machine gun. And it was more than a match for that aeroplane and gained aerial supremacy for the Royal Flying Corps, particularly over the area of the Somme battlefields.
Dreadful times in history, but at the same time when we're looking back at this, it's kind of within living memory. I mean, clearly we're 100 years or so from now. We've come on a wee bit since then, thankfully, because I must admit, I would not have liked to have actually got... I mean, how high up did these vehicles actually get?
The official ceiling for this aeroplane is 14,000 feet, although with a good engine and a nice clean aeroplane, it probably would have gone higher.
So 14,000 feet plus, Tessa?
Well, it's absolutely magnificent, isn't it? Just standing there and looking at it now. I mean, do you know how many of these we actually have left in the country?
None of these aeroplanes survived the Great War. There are no originals left. There is a flying replica, which isn't a million miles from here at Wickenby. There's also another flying replica in New Zealand. There may be others, but those are the only two that I'm aware of.
And other than obviously the plane, you've got an array of other equipment and kit here. Just to explain to us a few bits that you've got on show.
I think probably my friends can explain this more, because they're the cavalry of the ground and I'm the cavalry of the air.
Air supremacy, it's always important. You've got to let the Johnnies deal with their stuff in the trenches, shall we say. Shaley.
I'm not going to lie, this aeroplane looks quite flimsy and as if it's made from cardboard. I don't think I would be confident flying in that. How about you?
This isn't a flying replica, it is a static display piece, but if it was built with the right structural strength and actually had an engine that worked, I wouldn't hesitate to go up in it. I used to do microlight flying about 20 years ago, which is probably about as close as you'll get to that, and I wasn't worried about that, so I don't see why I should be worried about this.
Confidence?
So is this what it looked like when it was around, or did it look different?
Because this is a static display piece that has to be trailered to size. The wings are slightly shorter than they should be, and the undercarriage is slightly lower. Otherwise, it wouldn't fit on the trailer. But other than that, it's about the same size. The materials in the wood is wood, though not necessarily the right wood, metal is metal, etc., is what they would have used. The materials that cover it, it's not canvas like some people say, it's actually cotton or linen, and that has been covered in the same dope that they would have used to strengthen it and tighten it that they would have used in the Great War.
And is it actually, is it a one man or two man? Because I see you've got a sort of machine gun on the front, so I take it one would have been flying it and one would have been...
There was a two-seater called the FE-2. This is a single-seater. The pilot is capable of flying the aeroplane and shooting the gun. Spitfire pilots can do it, and so could these chaps.
Nice, that's really interesting. How long have you been involved in this type of thing?
Well, I've been reenacting for donkey's years. this was built about... I started building this about 2 years ago.
Will you be involved with the RAF Scampton Air Show later on in the year, when clearly the RAF centenary continues to be celebrated?
No.
Outrageous. You should get with that, put that out straight away. But we appreciate, obviously, you being here at the Lincolnshire Show. Chocks away.
Yes, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
New exhibitors for the Lincolnshire Show, always exciting. And we've gone from vintage aircraft to the vintage tractor and engine club of Lincolnshire. And we're about to speak to...
I'm Peter Hardy, and I'm the chairman of the group.
Peter, good to connect with yourself. My first question is quite simple. Are those real potatoes that we see outside, or are they plastic replicas?
Yes.
Real potatoes. Hey. Yes. Excellent. Yes. So talk to us a little bit about the NVTEC Lynx Group.
Well, we're quite a large group. We have 167 members, and it covers all Lincolnshire. And I was put in as chairman, 2 years ago?
And the club hasn't looked back since, clearly, from that point of view.
Hello.
I've got to ask, I see, obviously, your tie is resplendent with Winnie the Pooh and the honey jar. Does that have a connection with the NVTEC?
No.
That's
no.
Okay.
No.
It's good for the Lincolnshire Show, though. We've got honeybees here.
Exactly, exactly.
Excellent. Nice branding there.
Ties in, no pun intended.
Shayla.
So how long has this been up and running? You said you've been the chairman for 2 years. Is that when it started?
No. It's been going... hang on a minute. About 60 years.
Wow.
There's one of the previous chairmen. He's our president.
Nice.
And the other one resigned. And I took over from him.
And in terms of the potatoes and stuff, have we got any potato farmers or any farmers in general?
One stood behind me. He grows Lincolnshire blues, if you've heard of those. I've never heard of them, never seen one.
But is he making them up, then? They actually exist.
Yes, they do.
Oh, that's all right.
Yes,
then.
They are blue. The blue potatoes.
Does Gary Lineker know when he's doing adverts for Walkers?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm the clue. No, and he has a lot of vintage stuff. He grows all sorts of unusual seed. Mandel seed,
Sorry, we've got a lovely vintage tractor behind us.
Yeah.
Obviously machinery has moved on since then, but tell us a bit about this one behind us.
Now then, it's an 1896 International.
So actually, it's younger than the St. John's Ambulance people, because they started off in the 1881. So actually, yes, not the oldest exhibit.
And, it's 1936.
Oh, even younger.
Sorry. And it was launched here on the showground when it first came out.
And so actually it's come home in many ways, though.
It has, actually.
It's wonderful. What is it about the vintage tractor that's appeals to yourself over the years?
Oh, being an ex-farmer, retired farmer.
I sense you're more of a Massey Ferguson than a John Deere man. Is that true?
No, not really. I'm a Farts Man and International.
Oh, nice response.
Well, for one thing, they're simple to maintain. Yeah. And these new ones are all on electronics, and I don't think I would understand half of them.
People probably said the same when they started replacing horse or cattle-drawn ploughs, really, and said, these tractors, newfangled, they'll never catch on.
Exactly. Yes, I've just been talking to a friend of mine, stood behind me, and he's the same. And he said, a lot of these electronic tractors aren't as good as the old ones.
Well, there you are. Shaley.
So whether that's the case or not, I don't know.
Time will tell.
It will.
Shaley.
And when you guys get together, what is one of the main activities you do?
We have people speaking for us. We go around large collections. And what do we do?
You're at the Lincolnshire Show.
Yes, we're at the Lincolnshire Show.
Will you be coming back next year?
I hope so.
Excellent. Were you here? Have you actually turned it as a paying customer beforehand? Were you somebody who kind of liked the Lincolnshire Show, or is this all new?
I was a member.
You were a member?
I was
excellent.
A member. And the club wanted a stand, so I came and asked if I could have a stand.
And lo and behold, Jane Southall and Lincolnshire Agricultural Society granted that wish. It's been a privilege speaking together with your good self. Again, online material, presumably you can find out more details about the National Vintage Tractor and Engine Club, both the Lynx Group and the National Club, by simply going online.
Well, yes, we are. We're advertising. We have a web page, our own web page. If you go into Lincolnshire NVTech, you'll see what we're doing and everything comes up.
Well, we've just finished a piece with a farmer who actually had migrated to Lincolnshire from Yorkshire, specifically Castle Howard. We're now speaking to somebody else who classifies himself as a foreigner. And your name, sir?
I am John Pattison.
John, where have you come from for the Lincolnshire Show today?
I come from Skidby, near Beverley, East Yorkshire.
So God's own country, so I knew we were drawn to you for some essential reason there. Share with us some of the things you actually got here, because, I mean, Tessa was particularly impressed with the range of sculpting that you actually got from classic images of owls and wildfowl, etc., onwards, really.
I've done the horse, and I've got a panther there, which I thought I put a nice little sign on, which I thought was funny, but I don't think people do. I've also got a cheetah, a witch, and a gorilla, silverback.
Without which any agricultural show would be just a little bit the poorer, I feel.
Well, yeah, it looks more like a zoo, my pitch, yeah, but other than that, it's not too bad. Well, plus I've got two orc monks. Just to keep things nice and religious.
It's always important. I was just commenting in the press area, actually, that we were sadly lacking that kind of religious input. I suppose to be absolutely on message, we should really have some Islamic prayer mats as well and things. That's going to be something to think about for the future.
I wouldn't mind a flying carpet, but I don't know.
Okay,
prayer mat.
We'll hold it there. Tessa.
Now, I assume you do all the carving of these magnificent,
Yes.
How long does a piece like the horse back there, because he's huge, how long does that take?
The horse took me 6 days.
6 days?
Yes, I know, it's a long time, isn't it?
How long have you been doing this?
That's a bit difficult, you see, because I was actually taught to carve when I was 16, long, long, long time ago, and with a hammer and chisel. And then a few years ago, which is actually 6 years ago, I started with a chainsaw. And the reason for that was my other half said, I want that tree stump moving from the front and I want a fence put in across. And I didn't want to move the tree stump, so I carved an owl on it while she was at work. And then she came home and she went, that's absolutely fabulous, John. That owl looks brilliant. What'll make it look better is if you chop it off that stump, stick it on the fence that you're supposed to be putting there, and get rid of that tree stump. And cars had gone past, pipped the horns, and then I started getting, because I did actually screw it to the fence eventually, people started knocking on the door, can you do one for me? And that was 6 years ago.
Shaylee has dragged herself away from the canines, the tears in her eyes, etc. Shaylee, your thoughts on some of the sculptures we're seeing here?
Yeah, they're really intricate and beautifully done. Have we already spoken about a website?
No.
How can people get a hold of your lovely wooden sculptures?
Well, they can go to the website, but there's not as many pictures on there as what I put on Facebook, but they are both the same thing, which is the man from Skidby.
Like it. Like the man from Uncle, but something special, even more special.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the reason I got that was because we were looking for a website, domain name, and we couldn't find one. And I was doing the Humberbridge Farmers Market, and a chap walked over and said, "Are you the man from Skidby?" And my other half had just walked up, and she went, "I know what we're going to call your website." So that's where it stuck.
It is indeed super knowledgeable, independent, dynamic, blessed and youthful, I think, from that point of view. Man from Skidby?
Man from Skidby, yeah.
You can have that completely free of charge. Connected, really sort of fantastic. Sculptors often say, and you may or may not agree with this, that you see the image when you're given the block of marble or the block of wood, and what you have to do as a sculptor is reveal and uncover that image. Is that a fair description of the craft?
I don't know, because I cheat. I go and forget a picture first, and then I copy the pictures, which is what I did with the horse. I knew what I wanted to do with that piece of wood, and then I literally carved the picture of a rearing horse.
Do you use a particular type of wood? Because I can see there is different colourings in some of the sculptures. So
yeah, such as the owls, so as to make them cheaper, so that people can afford an owl like that, which is only £60 or £70, whichever. I use what they call larch, which is a soft wood. But the horse is a big lump of what they call spalted beech, which means it's got lots of colours in it. But the monks are made from oak. And the lion is at the end.
Now, is there a particular wood that is easier to work with, easier to carve, or are they all relatively the same?
No, they're all different. Softwoods are what they call raggy. They cling to your chain blade. Oak is fabulous for carving, but you've got to keep sharpening your blade up because it's so hard. And then you get another wood, which is from North America, and that is sequoia. And there are natural oils in that, and it's absolutely beautiful to carve, and it doesn't crack as much.
I feel as though I've been transported into a whole new world of wood carving, and I think my favourite would probably be the, I keep saying leopard, but it's cheetah, isn't it?
There's a cheetah there, yes.
There's a cheetah.
Yeah, exactly. And there's also a black panther, which is under stress.
I know the feeling.
I actually love your table and chairs over there as well.
That's... Oh, no, that's somebody else's.
Oh, that's somebody else's.
Yeah, that's Mick.
Is it a bench or
is it a bench there? No, Mick. And that, like the... Have you seen the seashell?
That's, I have. That did catch my eye. That's very lovely as well, yeah.
Yeah.
But the subject of this little piece has been the man from Skidby, and that's the people we've been featuring, basically.
I have got to say, the horse is probably my favourite piece you've done.
Thank you.
Allowing for the fact that sometimes if the mountain won't come to Mohammed Salah, obviously, we decided we'd actually come to Mohammed. No, we've come to Chloe Rose, Liverpool supporting Seoul. Actually, Jurgen Klopp supporting Seoul, Miss Lincolnshire, all-round wonderful person. Chloe, good to see you.
It's very good to see you too. And it's amazing. It's very windy, but it's sunny, so that's good.
We brought our midweek drivettes to support you in force today, so we thought we'd work that. Tessa, obviously, you know from Sound and Country Vision. Christian, a Leeds United fan who actually likes Liverpool.
Yeah. Yep, and I'm not that happy, as I assume you're not, about Karius blundering, shall we say.
The goalkeeper, Chloe, the European Cup final blunder.
I know.
Still recovering.
Still recovering. You know, it's just one of those things, isn't
it? You're wearing red. Jürgen would admire.
That's it. I'm making the most of it. And you've got to stand out. That's what it's about.
It's Lincoln red. That's the important thing. And Shaylee.
Hi.
Now, looking towards the whole thing, you were actually at the Lincolnshire Show, I believe, last year. You did various video diaries. This time around, you brought the full Chloe Rose family?
I have indeed. I've got my mum here, my grandma, my grandma's best friend, my mum's best friend. It's lovely. I'm telling you, everyone.
Come on, introduce the whole sort of system here, because it's always time they got sort of full routine. So,
this is my mum, Jill. Oh, she's a lovely lady.
Hello, Jill.
Oh, hi there, everyone. Pleased to meet you.
I trust you were duly impressed with Chloe's live performance on Siren Radio recently.
Absolutely wonderful, yes.
Generally wonderful. And others?
Well, this is my lovely godmother, Adele. She's like an auntie to me. She's amazing, very supportive. She always comes along.
Hello, lovely godmother, Adele.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Excellent. And?
My grandma, Rose, and also her best friend, Joan, as well.
The grandma, Rose.
Yes.
You can't be a grandma, it's a secret. She's making it up, isn't it? Outrageous. And best friend, of course.
Yes.
Jess.
Hello.
And indulging all sorts of wonderful bits and pieces there. Now, Chloe, what can we expect from you today? What will you be doing? Because I know we've got speaker challenges. I did speak to Sean Dunderdale from Lynx FM and said, look, for God's sakes, Chloe doesn't have many riders, but actually decent speakers are just one of them. You obviously scrapped the notion of peeling out all of the wrong coloured M&Ms from the whole sort of contract.
I think I'm just going to keep it quite stripped back, something quite slow and soft, because if you sort of try and give it too much oomph, it'll, you know, it might not work as well. So I think today, just chilled, and we'll make the most of it. That's all you can do, isn't it?
I know that Amelia Chambers at the New Lincoln Theatre Royal, we've promised that we're going to take you over to see those guys at the New Lincoln Theatre Royal. Lots of excitement at the press area. Christian's been experiencing his first ever Lincolnshire show. Before today, Christian hadn't even encountered a sheep in a field, really.
Yeah, no, it's true. I didn't actually realise they bad how they do. I know that sounds weird. I thought it was genuinely like a TV thing. I just kind of thought it was like, I don't know, it just threw me. I just saw a sheep and I was like, that is weird.
We don't let Christine out very much.
I'm just city bound all the time.
But there we go. As we mentioned, Chloe, you were here last year, so is this your second show?
It is indeed. I'm absolutely loving it. It's amazing. And also, it's just so great to be here to see all the stalls. There's so much going on at the moment.
Now, we look forward to you doing some audio location reporting with us even on day two, which is tomorrow, because you're back then?
Yes, I will be indeed.
Excellent. Tessa, you've already been in contact with a previous holder of the Miss Lincolnshire title, because it can be revealed now, Eva MacDonald is somewhere on the showground.
She is here somewhere. She's with her family. She has been in contact, but we've not seen her yet, have we?
No, it's our mission, hopefully, before she goes off to Italy to connect you two guys. So at least you're in the same field, Chloe.
That's it. Miss Lincolnshire's together. We've got to stick together. That's what it's about, definitely.
Spot on.
Maybe she will be watching you perform. You never know. She might be in the crowds.
Exactly. Surely it's the only place to actually be at 1:30 on day one of the Lincolnshire Showground to actually see Chloe Rose in performance.
Where else would you want to be, though?
Literally stumped. Shaylee?
I'm really looking forward to hearing her sing. I've heard great things.
Thank you very much. I'm going red. As red as my outfit now.
I'm excited to see her again, because obviously I've already had the pleasure of hearing you sing live. But
it's genuinely awesome. Yes. Chloe, we'll let you get psyched up and sorted out from that point of view now, and I'm sure we'll speak again as the show proceeds.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Enjoy the day.
Tessa, Sound and Country Vision has never as yet featured a fairy tale princess. That's now going to be put to rights.
It is, yes. In front of us we have Snow White.
The genuine Snow White. Also known as
Georgia.
So how's it been, Georgia? I noticed you've got a basket of goodies there with the new Theatre Royal summer season in there. I noticed you're being swamped with requests for interviews. How did Amelia book you for this gig?
Well, my mum runs a theatre, so we kind of all just work together as a family. Today we're handing out flyers for the pantomime. We're doing storytelling of Snow White, and it's been so lovely, and because the sun's shining, it's been beautiful.
So you are indeed the offspring of the awesome, I keep saying Natalie, but is that what your mum's name is, of course?
Yeah, it is Natalie.
It is Natalie, exactly. Sometimes, she'll never forgive me for that. Tessa, questions?
Is this your first time at the actual Lincolnshire show?
It actually is, yes. So hopefully tomorrow I'm going to come not as Snow White and have a look round.
Not as Snow White?
Not as Snow White. My sister's tomorrow, actually. So the whole family.
Well, there you go. Christian, any thoughts for yourself?
How's it feel being in more demand than the trophy? Because it looks like you've been getting a lot more photos than that's been getting.
Well, that is an achievement, isn't it?
Chequered Trade Van Trophy, important milestone in Lincoln City's achievement was, though it was clearly yourself as Snow White, that just whacks the floor with it.
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. I see the Mirror has come out as well. Final questions, Tessa?
Gosh, I'm out of them.
Out
really.
Of questions.
Out of questions. Literally out of time.
Keep on keeping on, and we look forward to seeing you probably without your Snow White costume on tomorrow.
Look forward to seeing you too, thank you.
Great news. Great news. In fact, breaking news on the closing few moments of our coverage of day one here for the Midweek Drive morning edition of the Lincolnshire Show 2018. Tessa, we have located, or rather Eva McDonald has located us.
She has. She has actually located us, and she is here.
I am. Hello.
Eva, I have to ask the question, how is Saltfleet coping, given that you're here at the Lincolnshire Show? I mean, has Saltfleet shut down? Are they in a state of mourning? What's happening?
I have no idea. Maybe in a state of mourning, you never know.
Well, who knows?
They're giving her a day off.
Really?
A week off.
Oh, a week off.
A week?
Yes, I'm going to Italy on Friday.
Tessa did mention you were heading off to Italy. Now, was that a case of the end of the day, you can only spend so much of your time in Saltfleet before you have to head off to Italy? Which part of Italy?
To Sorrento. Oh, the, I can't say it, Amalfi Coast, I think it's called.
It is indeed the Amalfi Coast. Come back to Sorrento, as Mario Lanza once sang. Eva, Christian here is making his debut as a Midweek driver at the Lincolnshire Show. Somebody who's been working with us now for 4 years, 5 years?
I don't know how long it's been.
It's been a good time.
Since
before Tessa started.
2015.
Since 2015, it's 8:15. Any advice for Christian, who is literally just on his first ever location report today?
Ooh. Enjoy it, go with the flow.
Yeah. Thank you. That's what I've been trying to do, to be honest.
Now, you're not going to be with us tomorrow because you're doing various other things, in fact, prepping for Italy, presumably. Or are you coming back tomorrow?
I can try for today. I've got loads of stuff to do tomorrow because of Italy preparations.
Okay.
I would love to, though.
Well, if you are, it's always a delight to see you. How has Saltfleet been going? Because your updates, obviously, on the Midweek Drive have been greeted with great aplomb and enjoyment, really. So how's the whole event been going?
Yeah, it's going well. I always love doing my sets. I always love doing the activities and the evening entertainment and the presenting. It's all good fun. But yeah, it's going really well. Thank you.
And as we said, we will come and see you in Saltfleet. Tragically, we were going to come and see you next week, but you'll be in Italy. No, I'm kidding.
I won't be there.
Exactly. But sometime in July, I'm sure. Do you work on weekends and Saturdays? Because clearly Tessa is going to be heading into a Monday through Friday employment routine shortly, so we need to probably look at a Saturday. Are you around then?
Saturdays are fine, yeah.
Saturdays. So might well look at a Saturday.
It sounds good to me.
So the visitors, alternatively, we may switch back to a weekday and see you in action from that point of view. What are your thoughts on the Lincolnshire Show from what you've seen so far?
It's good as ever, good as ever, good every year.
And any advice, I mean, you shared this obviously when you were on air with her a few moments ago, but as somebody who was Miss Lincolnshire, and obviously forevermore will be Miss Lincolnshire, as Chloe is making her way into the Miss Lincolnshire, Miss England finals, what thoughts would you actually give her?
Oh, to always, I think the charity work's very important, keeping up appearances, quoting the famous TV show, and just to enjoy it, and just make the most of it, really.
Speaking of charity work, you still continue with respect to that. When's the next time we can look forward to more of your charity in aid of brain cancers?
Well, I'm thinking, because we've got peak season obviously coming up for the summer, I'm thinking maybe September, and I still want to do my abseil, so if I can pluck up the courage.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now, where are you thinking of abseiling from? Because, I mean, there are lots of sort of buildings that are around. Have you any thoughts in mind as to where you will be abseiling from?
I don't know. I know there's I'd love to do the one at the Grimsby Dock Tower, because I know that's something you can do. I don't know how to organise it, so.
Well, I'm sure if you put it out there, it'll happen. It matters. Before you go, we've got to do this quick introduction. Chloe, Miss Lincolnshire, Eva McDonald, Eva, Chloe.
So lovely to see you again. Oh, God. I'm
sorry.
It's fantastic.
Beautiful. Lincolnshire girls together. Fabulous.
And the photo opportunity will be there just as actually the World Cup breaks in with a footballing slot as well. Eva, a delight as ever. Chloe, you're about to go on stage. We'll take one last photograph of you with respect to Eva.
That
and that's great.